going to give you just a brief introduction to the reflection meditation series that I hope to have ready through all of the Sundays of Lent, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They will be a first-person narrative. So, the wilderness is for work. The Sabbath is for rest. On Sundays, we may lay down the tools of dismantling and simply enter into the story. So if it helps to close your eyes and imagine, but imagine, this is my story. I saw him coming a long way off. I was already at the edge of the ravine, gathering kindling and checking the traps. I don't always see them before they fall, but he moved like a man running from something bigger than him. They run until the adrenaline turns into poison, and then they drop. He didn't look like a prophet to me. He looked like a man whose spirit had been hunted out of him. Dust in the creases of his eyes, lips cracked and bleeding, and he collapsed under the broom tree, the only shade for miles, and started bargaining with death. "It is enough," he muttered. "Take my life." I didn't answer him. I've heard men talk like that before. Usually, they aren't looking for a grave. They're looking for a bed. I've fed enough dying men to know the difference between tired and finished. He didn't want to die. He just didn't have the strength to be Elijah anymore. Eventually, the mumbling stopped. He laid his head down, and he slept the uneasy sleep of the hunted. I let him sleep. The insistence of life tells you to stay awake, to keep watch, but he had nothing left in him. I sat quietly in the dirt and watched his chest rise and fall. I've kept watch over enough strangers to know when the desert will keep them and when it won't. Some wake up fighting, and some don't wake up at all. The wilderness was silent for a while. Then I built a fire. I gathered sticks. I found flat stones. I mixed flour and water. I took my time. The smoke drifted over him. He smelled the bread before he opened his eyes. When it was ready, I didn't shake him gently. You can't be gentle with that kind of exhaustion. When I clasped his shoulder, I felt the bone beneath the robe. "Get up," I said. "Eat." He woke with wide, terrified eyes. He opened his mouth, probably to ask about Jezebel, or if he had failed, or if he was followed. I didn't let him speak. I put the water jar in his hand. His instincts took over. He drank slowly at first, one eye on me. Then the hesitation broke, and he started gulping. Water ran down his beard. He set the jar down and looked at the bread on the stones, fresh and inviting. His questioning eyes flickered back to me, and I nodded. "Eat." You could see the exhaustion in his muscles as he shuffled over to the fire. Tentatively, he reached out to the first loaf, warm, soft, and comforting. He flopped down in the dirt right next to the fire and took a big bite. He didn't look at me. He looked at the bread. He tore it open and shoved it into his mouth. He barely chewed. Between mouthfuls, his breath was still ragged. "Eat," I encouraged him gently. He nodded. just barely taking time to swallow before taking another big bite. A small breeze cut through the stillness of the moment, making the fire dance and rustling the leaves on the broom tree. He glanced up furtively, but I shushed him with a wave. We sat. He ate. I watched. The fire was mostly coals now, and we could both tell that the exhaustion was taking over him again. Fear might make a man run, but it leaves him empty and spent when it's gone. I pointed to the depression in the dirt where he had lain before. He didn't argue. He didn't ask what came next. He pulled his cloak tight and let out a long, shuddering sigh. This time, the sleep was heavy. No twitching, no murmuring, just the deep, rhythmic breathing of a man who has finally put his burden down. The dry riverbeds hold the best kindling. The daughters of Kedar know how to keep a fire alive through the night. Dusk had fallen. By the time I returned, he was breathing deeply, snoring gently, getting the sleep that he so desperately needed. The wilderness was doing its work. As the sun fell, the air turned cold. I fed the fire, and its light bounced off all the leaves of the broom tree. The long shadows of the evening were falling over his sleeping body when I went to him again. My hand was firm as I shook his shoulder. Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. He was steady when he stood up. He ate the second loaf slowly, staring into the flames. He wasn't frantic anymore. He was just a man, eating bread in the dark. His mind was busy, but slower now. He still had a long way to go and a lot to do. The weight hadn't lifted, but it no longer bent him. But at least he had rested. He had eaten. He had his fill of water. He stood up. He looked at the mountain. Then he looked at me. I nodded. He turned and walked into the dark. He didn't look back. I sat by the fire, watching its light play on the leaves of the broom tree, feeling the night close around me. The fire sank into a low bed of coals, breathing out its last warmth into the cold night air. In the hush beneath the broom tree, only the soft tick of warm stones cooling remained. And then even that was gone. We are invited by Jesus, the Christ, to share this table. Even as we gather at diverse tables, some here in the sanctuary and some within our own homes, divided by physical distance, yet connected, one to each other, electronically, we are woven into whole cloth by the Spirit for this communion. So come to celebrate the sacrament by God's grace, witnessing to the good news alive among us. So let us now